Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would speak through me, that my words would be your words, that all the thoughts here would be focused on you so that we can be changed by your life-giving word. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Yeah, my Apple phone, it's 9-minute snooze. I think you could hit it twice now, you know, real quick and be done with the whole sermon. But let's not hit snooze, because God does have something good for us today. We're going to continue on in Ephesians. We're going to continue on in where Paul is taking us through this total recreation. If you weren't here last week, it was death to life. It was you're dead. You're dead. You have no heartbeat. You have no brain function. Spiritually, you are dead. It's not just a little bit of a tweak here. It's not a little self-help here. You need resurrection, plain and simple. And that's what Jesus does. He takes us. And through his promises, we saw it earlier, Carson, what a wonderful blessing. God's words, God's promises made to him, taking him from death to life in Christ. In Christ. And of course, we don't want to limit God. It's not just about us. It's not just God doing something here. It's about God doing something all over and with all of us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. God recreating who we are in him. You know, probably one of the most well-known feuds throughout all of American history has to be, or at least I would think so, has to be the Hatfields and McCoys. You know, I looked up on Google how many people died because of that feud. It said at least 20 people, maybe up to 100. What started over, which I think was a pig that crossed the river and people got all mad about it and whose pig it was and all that. Years of feuding. Death because of it. All of that. And it wasn't until 2003, many, many years since when it started, the families actually sit down, relatives, you know, generations later, and actually signed a truce. They said the feud was no more, that they were done, that there would be no more hostility against each other. How great that is. You know, it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, but what God is doing is even better than that. God is taking two people that from the beginning, from the fall, and from the nations of this world, and Israel being God's chosen people and all the other people, the Gentiles, and God is making them one. That's his wonderful promise. And I know that could easily kind of make our eyes glaze over because it's Jew-Gentile stuff, not really dealing with me, but let us remember who the Gentiles are. It's us, right? Unless you have some Jewish heritage that I don't know about, maybe you do, you're a Gentile. In the Old Testament, the word was actually, it wasn't Gentile, but it was the goy, the nations. And so it was all of Israel was one, and then everybody else were the nations. And so God is taking the nations and now bringing them close. And Paul, like he did last week, he didn't start out saying, you know, like I said, a little tinkering here or there, you're dead. Paul gets right to the point. He doesn't give us good news to begin with. He just says it as it is. You know, going from a couple weeks ago, if it's his house renovation, last week was the kitchen, and everything is now fixed up, but now you move into the bathroom, and the bathroom looks terrible. The walls are falling in. There's plumbing issues. The mirror's cracked. Everything is just bad. And that's what Paul says. This is starting in verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. They weren't with Christ. They weren't a part of Christ. They were separated. These nations, these people were separated. They were on the outside, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. They weren't a part of this nation. They weren't with Christ, and they weren't a part of Israel. They were apart. They were far off, strangers to the covenants of promise. God made promises to Israel that he would care for them, that he would love them. He gave them the covenant at Mount Sinai and blessed them and said that he would be their God and he would be their, or they would be his people. But for the nations, they didn't receive that. They were apart from these covenants of God. They're without hope. Can it get any worse than that? Without hope. And they were apart, or they did not have God in the world. For the nations, they didn't have anything. They were separate. They weren't without the they were without the promises. They were without the covenants. They were without God himself, and they were without hope. Notice again what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say everything was good and dandy. He doesn't say everything was like it should be, or oh, you Gentiles, just because Israel doesn't like you and you've been feuding for all these years, you're really okay. What does he say? You have no hope. No hope. But again, that's before. That's before God shows up, right? Last week we had the phrase, but God. We're dead in our sin, but God, in the grace and mercy of Christ, has made us alive. Here we don't have but God, but we have but in Christ Jesus. This is who you were. You have no hope but in Christ Jesus. You who are far off are brought near. This is our story. And I think we have to know where we are coming from, what our background is, because if we think it's just a little issue, if it just have to work a little bit harder on it, then nothing is a big deal. So what? I worked a little harder. You know, I was in the first service, as I said this, I look down and I have a little cut on my finger. If that's all it is, what? In a week or so, it'll be healed and be gone. No big deal. But if I am in the grave, if I am dead, if I've been given a pronouncement of terminal, have no hope, and then I'm raised, then praise God, it's a miracle. And that's where we are. Apart from Christ, you have no hope, but in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off are brought near. You who once were far off, buried in our sin and our death, are brought near through the waters of holy baptism. You who are far off through the gospel message are brought near. Far off. Far off wasn't a distance. It wasn't like, here's Jerusalem, here's Israel, and those who are 853 miles away or more, they're far off. No, it was anybody who did not believe. It was anybody. And what is God doing? He's bringing them near. He's bringing us near. He has brought us near. Wonderful message for us. That should give us great joy. That should enliven us so that we can live with great joy, because he is bringing us peace. How is he doing this? For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace. He has torn down the wall. There is nothing dividing Jew and Gentile anymore, because he has torn down that wall and we are all one in Christ. What was it, 1989? The Berlin Wall was knocked down, separating East and West Germany. And I kind of remember some of those reports then, and I actually this week went back and watched some. Maybe you should do the same. And there was such great joy. There was excitement. There was celebration, because families that were separated when the wall went up and the guards kept them separated are now reunited. And the opportunities can happen now, and there can be travel and all of that. And there was great joy. Well, we have that times 100. All the more because of what Christ is doing. The dividing wall of hostility has been broken down. We who are far off, we who are without hope, we who had no God and Christ was not with us and we didn't have the promises are now brought near through him. It's a wonderful message of recreation. And so that we are all one. I got to do the children's sermon in the first service and I brought in some Legos. Isn't it kind of cool how you have all those different colors and you can build a building? That's what God is doing. He's taking us. And you know, Legos, they all come in different colors and different sizes and all of that. And that's us. He's taking us who are different and bringing us together in one. In one. And so that we are there. And so whether, you know, we're divided, you know, in this country because of skin color and race, doesn't matter if you're white, brown, black, that God is making you one in Him. It doesn't matter on our political divides, Republican, Democrat, Independent, small parties, whatever, that we are now one. It doesn't matter where you're from, we're one because God has torn down that wall of hostility. He has made us one in Him. You know, I love this. Going to other countries on mission trips. I hope every one of you gets a chance to do it at some point, if you haven't. Because when you go, you just see how amazing God is because you're so different. I think of Guatemala, and we're going down there, and these people have nothing. Their life is so different than mine on every level possible. They speak a totally different language. All of their cultural influences are very different than mine. But we can go down there, and we can start to talk about Jesus. Jesus Cristo and His love. He loves us, and we can talk about it, and we can sing, Jesus loves you, me in Spanish, and their faces light up because it doesn't matter where you're from. Christ is making us all one in the gospel. That's what He says. He says that right here. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. What did God do? He preached the gospel. It is the gospel message and the gospel message alone that makes us one. He's taking Israel. He's taking the nations. And now through the gospel, He's making one people, the church. Praise be to God. Praise be to God that He is doing this. And that's your history. That's who you are now. You're being built up. And we should pray for those on the other side of the world that are struggling in the church. And we should pray for other believers and other churches because we're all one. Because His hostility has been taken care of. And we're all one in Christ. The dividing wall. There is peace now because of Christ. Because of the blood of Christ. We are part of the family. We're given, you know, thinking about traveling and going to Guatemala, we're given a passport. But unlike our, you know, United States passport that has that kind of blue cover, this one's red. Red with the blood of Christ. And it's stamped on that first page with that eternal entrance to eternity, to heaven, because you are a citizen. You are a member of God's family. You are part of His kingdom because of what Christ has done. And it says we're built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles and Christ the cornerstone. That's where we find unity. Not in anything of this world, not because we all like, I see some purple, so the Vikings or this team or that team, or we all just live in, even in this area of Minnesota right now. No, we all have unity because of Christ and the cross. That He has made us one. And He is building us up into this building of the church. Where is God? Yes, He's here with us today, but He is in us. And we go out and we proclaim this so that God's glory would go forth. Let us, who were far off and has been brought near, go forth and proclaim His glory all the days. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have done this. It's nothing in us. You are recreating all things. You've taken us from death to life, and now you've brought us into the family. And it doesn't even end there. You're going to do more. We're going to hear more over the next weeks. But right now, allow us to understand that You have made us this family. You have made us one. We have peace between one another because of that. And let us rejoice in all that You are doing. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Let us stand for prayer.